I have to expose this point right now. I spoke to this brother after the Jubilee debate, and then I was speaking to him and I asked him, I was like, bro, you're not really an ex-Muslim, are you? You said your dad was a Jew, so you're half Jew,
Yeah, bro.
half
Dude, I was like
Christian.
wondering where is his Muslim background? He
No,
never brings up
listen.
anything about Muslim.
I literally asked him, I was like, you're not really Muslim, are you? He looked me dead in the eyes, wallahi, and he's like, no, I'm not. And he didn't finish right there. He said, I told them that I wasn't, but they gave me the role anyway. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to The Three Muslims. I know it's been a while, but alhamdulillah, we're good to be back. Just a quick disclaimer, Jubilee, they posted the video. Unfortunately, it was not uncut and raw, so we are going to be responding to a lot of different things that people have been commenting about. And before we go in, check the timestamps in the description box, inshallah, for specific parts to fast forward.
Me would be like the issue of the hijab, which I know a lot of people will counter. So the Quran says women have to cover the khaymar to cover up so that they don't tempt the men. And then I will say the Quran does technically say men's hijab is their gaze, the male gaze. And it just seems a little silly to me. Beyond that, like in the Quran, how men can have up to four wives, but women can't. It's like, in the Islamic school, I want to say the azan, the call to prayer. All the boys in my class, they're like, we're going to do the call to prayer for this Friday. I'm ineligible because I'm a woman, apparently. Can't do the azan, I can't do the call to prayer. So just those, I would say, are my Quran-specific examples. And they're like, well, this is to protect women. I don't see that at all.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different points that you brought up. The first one being the hijab, which the woman is obligated to wear. And you talked about how the men have to lower their gaze, which is 100% right. The women also have to lower their gaze, and the men actually have their own hijab. So the men have their own parts of their body that needs to be covered as well. So obviously, men and women were created both physically different, psychologically, all different types of, they're different in every single way. There's different parts of the body that need to be covered because men are attracted to different things, women are attracted to different things, and it's to protect both sides. The second thing that you brought up, I believe you mentioned you not being able to make the call to prayer. Once again, that's in order to protect the women, just because men can also be attracted to the voice of a woman. So that's the reason that that's not allowed. And I completely understand that you being a young child, that's something that you wanted to do. And I mean, pre-puberty, in your household, with your family, that's something that you should feel free to practice, make the call to prayer, do that in front of your father, your brothers, your uncles, it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be in front of the whole entire mosque. So there may be things that you felt because you were a woman you were being limited to, but there's a benefit behind it. So it's about looking into that.
I think this is bringing up an important point of contention here with all the things that you're saying, and you keep bringing up that men and women are fundamentally different. Where is that coming from?
Where is what coming from?
When you say those things.
When I say what?
Men and women are fundamentally different in these very specific ways. Men are attracted to a woman's voice.
Okay, so scientifically, men and women are different. So if you were just look at someone, a man, and I look at a woman, I'm pretty sure I would see some differences, as well as just scientifically, biologically, emotionally, psychologically. There's been studies because everyone started to question you being able to change your sex and be able to change your gender, but you were created as a certain sex for a reason, and each.
So that's my point of contention here. There's nothing for me there. When you say that I was created for a specific purpose and a woman was created for a specific purpose, I would disagree completely. Why can't I fulfill those other purposes? When you start slowly building upon these layers of like roles, that
prescriptive
roles, that starts to create a system of oppression.
Allah actually says in the Quran that la yakra fi din, like there's no compulsion in religion. So when you say that, why can't I do XYZ? Like why can't I do the other role, for example, right? These are the things that, because Allah expects you to, these are the things best for you, but it's not that you can't do these things.
But when you say it's best for me, there's a threat. The problem is there's always going to be an existential threat.
Saying it's best for you because it's what's best for society. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in place for us, that we believe God, the reason that we have these specific, if you want to say, roles, because men complement women in a certain way and women complement men in a certain way.
But what I'm saying is he's not...
Let me explain myself, right? Let me give you a very easy way to understand that. I'll use her point, right? So you mentioned that, for example, why can you not marry four husbands and why can I marry four wives, right? These things have less to do with equality or worthiness in the eyes of Allah and just individual sex differences. For example, if I have four wives, right, I can impregnate all of them and we'll all know who the father is and who the mother is. If you, for example, in this scenario, you have four husbands, we won't actually know who the father is. And also,
why is that important? Why would that happen?
And
why
how does that make men and women equal in the eyes of Allah? Like, that's what that's telling
so
me.
So I'm saying we're equal, but we're different.
Bro, what's wrong with this Taha guy? What's up with this dude?
I just want to ask him, bro. Did she text you back? Because, okay, all jokes aside, I think that, and Rami, if you don't mind putting it back in the normal orientation, this is all because of a product of the modern day feminist lens, where it's under this pretense that men and women have to be the same, they are equal. So anytime that you have anything that contends or challenges that status quo, it's always going to seem something that seems oppressive or barbaric. So all of these people are under the notion of this liberal mindset, this postmodern mindset that men and women have to be equal in every single way possible. Now Allah says in the Quran that a man is not better than a woman and a woman is not better than a man except in terms of taqwa or piety or God consciousness. So we know that they hold the same value in the eyes of Allah, with all other variables being the same. But they do have differences, as Jad said, and these inherent differences in, I guess, genetics or in environment or just in roles, they help shape a better society. I think that's undisputed. I think anyone that challenges that, it's cold, bro.
And like in regards to the Adhan thing, or obviously that's just one example that she was using. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, there's roles in our religion. There is roles for men and there's roles for women. The mu'adhin, the person who's giving the adhan at the masjid, that is a role for a man. Why is it a role for a man? Because the men are the ones that are supposed to be praying at the masajid. Now, what a lot of people don't know, women get the same reward that the men get by going to the masjid and all the effort that they have to do to go to the masjid and to get that reward. The women get the exact same reward that the men get of going to the masjid by praying at home. Now, mm-hmm. I want us to imagine if the tables were switched here, right? Let's imagine that the men, they would get the same reward as the women. The woman had to go to the masjid, but the men, if they stayed home, they would get the same reward. Imagine how much everyone would be like, oh my God, that's so unfair towards the woman. But no, the woman get to stay at home and they get to reap the rewards that the man has to go to the masjid to get. So why don't we bring that up? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just very selective. It's not a good point. And I wouldn't, if it were, obviously, when you look at it in hindsight, there's obviously things that you would say differently. I don't think I would use the, because I had never even thought about the, like, a woman having to, like, or wanting to give the adhan. That's why I brought up the, like, the attraction. Obviously, that's still a thing, but that's not, like, the primary reason. Mm-hmm. So that's
there's a lot of practicality in it too, Jad. Like, imagine a woman's pregnant, bro. She has to go to the masjid at 4 a.m. for Fajr adhan. Like, that's impractical. A woman can't pray for a quarter of the month, i.e. a quarter of her life, most of it, right? So for her to go to the masjid and be expected to do that, I don't think it's fair. I think it's oppressive, if anything. It's pushing her beyond what is easy and reasonable for her. Because Allah has revealed Islam to not make our lives harder, but easier. So it would kind of be antithetical to expect women to fulfill roles that are a little bit outside what they deem reasonable. Now, whether you can or can't is not the main contention of this point. It's should we or should we not from a societal point of view.
And like something I want to address in the comments, obviously you're not seeing it right now, but you noticed everyone, you're going to notice it a lot in this video that when I'm speaking with, what's her name? Janet?
Janet, yeah.
When I'm speaking to Janet, obviously I'm not looking directly at her. Obviously because I'm trying to lower my gaze. So if you look at the comment section of the video already, it's like, oh my God, he can't even look at these people in the eyes when he wants to talk to them. No, I actually say it in the video that it's a part of what we have to do is to lower our gaze. And if you notice that when I'm talking to the men in the video, then I actually look them in their eye and have a conversation. But when it comes to speaking with women, I'm always, obviously, we're supposed to lower our gaze. So I want to make sure that people understand the reason for that, not because I'm scared to look at someone in their eyes. I'm never scared. I have the truth by my side, so I have nothing to be scared of.
And sisters, he's single too. But before we go back into it, I'm going to give a quick disclaimer right here for everyone watching, the brothers and sisters, that we had a decent experience with Jubilee. We're not here to kind of talk bad on them or anything, but understand Jubilee has rights to their content. They are their own creators and platform. So they are not going to air everything that we had, right? So Jad, me and you, we were there for like 3-4 hours for the whole recording, but they trimmed it down and cut it down into what, like 40 minutes? So there's a lot that I said and Jad said and a lot of responses that we had and a lot of rebuttals that they completely omitted from that. So inshallah, this video will serve as a means of answering these questions, because a lot of the times these separate external media, they have their own agenda. Now, we're not saying Jubilee has their own agenda, because again, the whole point of this is middle ground. So all we could do is trust that they will show both sides. But there were a lot of things, unfortunately, that they cut out. So that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah. And something else, because obviously, alhamdulillah, this was my second time and definitely my last. So there was a couple differences in terms of just the experience overall. With the first one, the director, I won't say her name, but she was actually the director for both. But in the first one, she was the only one, and she was the one directing us and everything. And in the second one, she had an assistant who did all the talking, and she actually didn't say anything this whole entire time. Now, in the first video that I was in, they allowed us to speak freely. She barely intervened. She would always say, like, please let this person speak because they haven't said anything or something like that. But it was barely, like, she was actually letting us have like a conversation. If you notice in this video compared to the last one, there was a lot more interruptions in this video. There's a lot more just commotion. It seems a lot more argumentative than the first video that I was in. Now, the reason that being, and Fayyad can agree to this or like confirm this, she, one of the workers at Jubilee, literally came up to both sides and told us that the second you disagree with something, I need you guys to jump on it and don't let them finish. Like, I need you guys to interrupt them. So when they walked up to us and told us that, I'm like, how are we going to have a productive conversation if the second that I'm not letting them get their thoughts across, I need to hear what they have to say. And this way that when I speak, they're giving me the respect so that they can hear what I have to say. That's mm-hmm. why when you notice, when you're watching the video, every time they're speaking, me and Fayyad and the other people, we're listening to them. And only one time, and that's the part, of course, that they put as the introduction to the video, but one time did I actually get frustrated and I cut them off. But that was just one time in the entire video. If you look at them when they're speaking, the whole entire time we're being respectful and we're listening to what they have to say. But the second I speak, they all jump in and they all interrupt. And they don't let me, more than half the time, I wasn't even able to get my complete thought out. So it was just really frustrating in the fact that both sides were being told to do that. We just didn't interrupt them while they were speaking because that's just not our nature. It's just not natural to me to interrupt someone while they're mid-sentence. So
yeah. And I think it really goes to show that Jubilee is not always a place to have enlightening discussions and to show different perspectives on a certain topic. It's mainly an entertainment channel. That's why people watch it, because it's entertaining and whatever. But you'll see a lot of the time when it comes to arguments against Islam, whether it's people in the video or people in the comments, they're always shallow arguments just veiled with some liberal mindset. Like, why can't I call the Adhan? Why do you need to call the Adhan? Why is it calling the Adhan something that's so important to you? Or are you just picking that because you know it's something you're not allowed to do? Like, as a man, I can't sit on my bum all day and be cared for by my wife. Does that mean I should go and cry about it all of a sudden? Like, why is you in this liberal society are actually forced to go out and work? Do you complain and cry about that? Or do you pretend you're liberated because you're taught that it's something that's liberated? And that Taha guy, like, this goes to show how incredulous these people are. What do you mean men and women are not exactly the same in every single way, biologically, psychologically, and otherwise? It's like, bro, she can get pregnant, I can't. Like, it's so clear. If they are not even willing to accept that fundamental premise, you can't have a discussion with these people.
Exactly. And that's why it's just unreal.
That's why you see these things. No worries, bro. That's why you see these things coming to, like, imagine you're a woman doing the then, and once a week or once a month for a week, you just can't do it. 5 prayers a day for like 5 days straight, 25 prayers that you can't do the then for just because you're on your period. Like, listen, and let's take it a step further. These things are so practical. They're so practical. A man is out all day working and whatever. So the very fact that he's already outside of the house makes him more eligible to do the adhan, having to go to do the adhan. Like, there are so many ways you can look at it to understand the practicality behind it. At the very, like, on the most fundamental level, even if it was just because women should stay home and men should be the ones to go out and work and blah, blah, whatever, so what? Why is that? Why do you have a problem with this? All you're saying is, I live a liberal life. This is not a liberal life, and you're crying about it. Like, we have our tradition, you have your tradition. You don't see me crying about your tradition. So what gives you the right to interrogate me about mine? Interrogate us about our tradition.
And I wanted to add in, that was a beautiful point, bro. It reminds me of this point that the Niqabi sister on our team, her name is Harmi, she brought up this point that it's not about why can't we do these things? But you got to question, why do you have an issue with that? Why are you asking that question in the first place? It's because we live in a society that kind of breeds this almost this androgynous state between men and women. So before we jump back into this, I do want to quickly note this on polygyny, because a lot of, you know, we can't just assume Muslims are watching this. Do you get what I mean? So there's a lot of non-Muslims that are watching this, and they're kind of like, why can't a man marry, you know, 4 women, and why can't a woman not? Number one, I want you to understand that polygyny is not something that Islam started. Polygyny is something that has always been there. men have always had multiple partners, and perhaps women also did. Islam is actually the first religion to come down and limit it to four wives. So let's get that clear. There's no limitation to a number of wives until Islam came. And this is for obvious reasons. You know, more men die in war, more men die in battle, more men even today work dangerous jobs. There's infant mortality is higher in little boys than little girls. Across the board, look at the U.S. population of men and women. There's always going to be more men than women. And Allah has made it permissible, if you can take care of them and be responsible for them and take accountability for them, that you can marry them. However, if a woman has multiple partners, because I know all the sisters are going to wonder, like, why can I not have four husbands? Number one, it's not practical. If you have four husbands, you want to marry four men. You want to have kids with all of them, 9 months each. Bro, you're going to be spending, like, most of your life just struggling. Let's get that clear, number one. Number two, we don't know who the father is, right? Studies have shown today that one of the biggest determinants in childhood delinquency, success in school, drug use, alcohol use, mental health, it's knowing who your father and mother are. It's that lineage. It's assurance of that. So if one man gets four women pregnant, we all know who the father is, that one man, and we all know who the mother is. But if roles were reversed, we don't know. Do you get what I mean? So Islam is a complete way of life. It's not just a religion. It's not just an ideology. So that's why Allah has thought about all the different aspects of how we would live our life. And he makes no mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing point. And just to piggyback off of that, Islam, as you mentioned, is a full system. Anytime you take anything in isolation, it's going to seem stupid. Like, imagine I took a car with just two wheels and a trunk. You're going to be like, what the heck is the point of that? Two wheels and a, like, what are you going to do with that thing? It's not until you have a full car that you understand the use of the wheels, the steering wheel, the engine, the trunk, the seats, all of that. The seatbelt even, something as small as that. Imagine I had two wheels and a seatbelt. You're like, yo, what am I going to do with this? Islam is a full system. So you can't just look at the fact that a man can marry up to four women and a woman cannot marry more than one man and think, oh, wow, we're so oppressed. You know, how could God do this to us? Think about the fact that a man has to take care of a woman. Can you imagine one woman being taken care of by four guys while there are other women who are still looking to get married? Can you imagine one woman impregnated by one of her three husbands, everyone else having to wait, and she only wants two kids? So then one guy, if he's really lucky, gets two kids, and two guys, if they're somewhat lucky, get one each. Like, it in every single way you look at it, it does not make sense. And it's, again, just another point of you wanting to cry about it. Like, why is this something you're so against? Many societies in the past were polygynous. We are one of the few that are not. And this comes from Judeo-Christian value. This comes from Christian values. So you're basically just comparing one religion to another. They're not your beliefs. You were taught this growing up.
So, Habibi, that was amazing. And before we jump into it, do either of you want to talk about hijab? I know that, Jad, you spoke a lot about hijab in the video, but they didn't really put all of it in. this whole notion that hijab is oppressive to women, like, where do they get this from?
100%. I mean, this is something that I addressed in the first video. And I think obviously now people are starting to understand more that hijab isn't really oppressive to women. It's to protect our women. It's to make sure that everyone, obviously both men and women, are being modest. And just like I think Harmony said, that she was saying, like, I want it. But what she said, basically what she meant is, like, this is the reason that hijab is for all women, so that you're seeing the woman's intellect and you're seeing them for who they are as a person rather than seeing them as an object, right? So that's the reason for the hijab. The hijab is put in place for us to see a woman for her mind and for her intellect and for who she is as a person, rather than seeing her as just who she is as physically. You know what I'm saying? So that's obviously one of the many reasons that the hijab for women is what it is. Yeah. And even Janet will go back in the video later on. She'll bring it up again in regards to why. She's like, why don't men wear a headscarf? She'll bring it up later on in another topic or something. It's like, bro, we just explained to you that men have a different hijab than women. How are we going to have the same hijab if we're two completely different people, like two completely different bodies, two completely different everything? Mm-hmm. How are you expect the same exact thing to be applied to both of us? It just doesn't make sense.
And they'll always put it on men and women. Like, the last one was, should good Muslim women wear the hijab? I think Jubilee titled that. This one, when we did the casting and we applied for the audition, it was Muslims versus ex-Muslims. You look at the video this morning, bro. The title says, are men and women equal? in Islam or something like that.
It wasn't even like one of the bigger topics. It was like,
yeah, I was like, what, bro? And they all seem to think like Islam will force you to wear hijab. First of all, Allah says there's no compulsion in deen. And when you look at hijab, there's never been a single mention of like hudud, like worldly punishment for hijab. You won't find that. A woman disobeying the commandments to wear hijab is disobeying Allah. But there's no like dunya punishment for it. Sure, countries have different laws. That's fine. I agree with that. But there's no Islamically prescribed Sharia punishment for not wearing hijab. You not wearing hijab is the equivalent of, let's say, for example, you lying, right? So you're sinning and transgressing against yourself and you're sinning in the eyes of Allah. But there's no force. There's no compulsion. You can wear what you want. But I would even argue, like, why should a woman be so oppressed and subjected and subdued to the point where she has to walk around as a sex object? Like, why is that always?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you call it oppressive that a woman is wearing hijab and she's protecting her modesty? I find it oppressive that you guys are using these women to push all these advertising and this marketing. That's what I find oppressive. I find it oppressive that you're using these women to push out your products and you're putting their bodies out there and you're minimizing them down to just their bodies. That's what I find oppressive. Like, how do you not find that the woman, like, protecting them and protecting their modesty, how is that oppressive in comparison to using these women just for their bodies? Which one is more oppressive?
Yeah, 100%. At the same time, they'll promote OF as if it's something that's liberating and, you know, get your bag and whatever. And, like, let me ask the sisters who agree with Janet and Taha and these liberal people. Let me ask you one question. Why are you okay with there being a prohibition on you walking out naked? Like, why are you okay with people stopping you from walking out naked or close to it in the streets and the malls and the schools and whatever? Why are you okay with that? It's because you grew up in a society where it's not normal to do that. And they have a specific standard on what you should and shouldn't cover. And people, as human beings, have different standards. There will be women who look at other women and be like, damn, she's wearing a freaking skimpy outfit. I don't know how she's wearing that. I would never. So even in your society, it fluctuates between people. So how come when we have a standard that's above all of yours, because let's be frank, the West is incredibly immodest. Look at like the beaches, like 60 years ago, women were fully covered there. Were they oppressed or were they happy to be at the beach? You know? I'm not actually saying go look at it, but if you're a sister, then go look at it. There's no problem. And don't, you know, just take my word for it, inshallah. And inshallah, don't ask yeah. But regardless, like, it's just a different standard again. And again, you can look at the practicality. A hijab will preserve modesty between men and women, because for a man, the most important thing is how attractive the woman is, especially in the initial stages. So if he sees less beauty, he'll be less attracted. And I'm not saying that he'll be enticed to go and like harass a woman. I mean, he'll be less enticed to go and flirt with her, encourage her to do zina with him, and all the mess that comes about afterwards. This preserves marriages as well, because she's more covered. This is less likely to happen. There are so many like wisdoms behind it that you can extract. If you think about it without any subjective bias for just like 5 seconds, you can extract these with no problem. But obviously, you just want to take these points that have been perpetuated by the West time and time again to yell and cry against Islam. And it's at this point, honestly, it's pathetic.
Yeah,
let's go on to the... Let's go to the next topic.
Reducing women to the sole purpose of reproduction.
I don't think it's that. Men, you know, you can impregnate someone every day. And women, you know, we kind of have to stay pregnant for a while. And I feel like there would be like a mix up with
paternity issues.
I understand what you're saying.
Like genetics, like if it was just one man impregnating a bunch of women, you could have a society still.
I understand what you're saying, but these are such narrow, like, whataboutisms. These are such narrow circumstances.
So let me ask you a question.
No, but I want to dive.
I'm sorry, I want to hear from Atiya and Janet as well.
Yeah.
I think also, here's just
it's
a
just so like,
I can guess the answer.
So frustrating. It's like, let us talk, bro. If they have something of value to say, let them come up and say it themselves. Yeah. Why are you forcing them to say it?
I mean, it's funny. As soon as like they say you can disagree, and then as soon as you disagree, they cut you off and let the other people keep going. It's so pathetic.
Why don't y'all wear a hijab? Like, why can't men wear a hijab?
We just explained it to you. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We just explained it to you. That's why I'm laughing.
So you can look at me. I'm literally laughing. Hijab, a headscarf. That's what a hijab is. Yeah.
I mean,
once again, we already said that the hijab for men and women is.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy. Do you look at how like dumb she felt in that moment? Like, I'm not trying to be rude to her, but like my point is they are so incredulous that they know when they get caught, they don't care. They just want to keep like pestering us about Islam.
Different because we're both created physically different. So obviously the hijab for both of them is going to be
that
different.
That statement is not really.
And then once again, you're implying that the hijab is oppressive to women. So that's what you're implying when you're saying that. Why can't men do it? Because do you believe that the hijab is oppressive to women?
In the deepest depths of my soul, yes, I understand it can be a choice. I do believe it's oppressive.
By you agreeing that, or by you saying that the hijab is oppressive to women, that's actually disrespectful to our women in the religion. Because you're either implying that these women can't think for themselves and that they're just wearing this hijab because
they have no black intellect.
Or you're saying that we're all forcing every single woman in the religion to wear this and we're throwing this on their
head. I think that's why, by saying
that the women are being oppressed in the religion, that's because they have to wear the hijab.
That's not black and white.
Can I jump in here and ask? So these justifications that we are seeing for hijab, do these justifications really still have solid ground when we consider that the hijab was for only one class of women, free women? Slave women didn't wear hijab, and because men were allowed to have sex with slave women, they were being sexualized and objectified when Muslim men were considering whether they're going to purchase them.
Yeah, let me answer that. So to address your slavery point, I'll get on that in a sec, all right? But the point that you're asking, if we are really equal, how could that be? And you were asking, if we all had hijab, why do you have to cover your head with a khimar and I don't, right? A very simple example is, if I expect a man and a woman to lift a heavy load, but the same load, that would be unequal, right? So we have to look at it as equality or equity. So what is equal in the eyes of Allah for a man is not going to be the same treatment for a woman. And I'm sure we understand that if there are differences in our sex, then there has to be difference in expectations and roles.
Maybe historically, but we live in a time where a lot of what you're saying just isn't relevant.
So I'm not going to be found in a situation.
Thank you. I would love to wrap this up, and I would love it if the women would wrap it up.
Okay, what?
Pause. That's so discriminatory, bro.
See, and like in the previous video, it was not done like this. Like okay, maybe she'd be like, can you please like make sure you say something before this thing ends because you haven't said anything. But it was never like that blatant where it's like, yo, we need like the woman to end this. Like, bro, come on. Like, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah. I wanted to add a point to that. And this is just something that I'm going to throw y'all. Not right now, but when that brother that's fully covered, probably in more correct hijab than anyone here, when he goes on to say something, I have something to say because I've been in contact with the brother since then, and there's some good news, inshallah, that I want to throw in there in a bit.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. That's great to hear. And let's let the women finish. Listen, you want to talk about how women are oppressed and you need to come stand up for them? Men, stop your male privilege. Let the women, why do you need to come in and save them? If we're so equal, why can't they just come in, jump in and save themselves? And it's so clear, there's so obvious agenda. Guys, let the women finish. Shut up. I'm going to finish my point. Why do you have a problem with that? These people are so incredulous. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
But, you'll see more as you continue to watch the video.
Yeah. And you'll notice,
more,
by the way.
More interruptions, more people, more of... I'll point it out when it comes up.
Inshallah. You'll also notice that they didn't even let Fahd address the whole slavery thing. They let him just slip it in. And then
here's the thing. So I'm not going to post screenshots, obviously, for sake of just adab, common decency and respect. But I've, when the video came out today, that brother, the one named Kafir, for anonymous purposes, the one that was fully covered, that ex-Muslim, I got a message from him in the morning. And he was like, bro, did you see that part where you addressed the slavery thing? And they didn't even put your response. Like, they completely edited that part out. He himself messaged me today, this morning on Discord, asking me if I saw that. Like, wallahi, wow. That blew my mind.
He was, by the way, he was the only one using, kind of, at least a little bit of, logical arguments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he understood, at least what he was saying. He wasn't just, saying stuff just to say stuff. Yeah, he genuinely just didn't understand certain things, and he just wanted to get them addressed, which is 100% okay.
Yeah.
But the other people, they don't actually care to learn or anything like that, or care to... They're just saying stuff to say stuff.
Yeah. So subhanAllah, and he's a very genuine guy, So after the whole podcast went down, I actually spoke to him after. And I spoke to him one-on-one just for a little bit. We exchanged, contact information. And I told him that, I'd love to talk to you more or even possibly host you on the channel. And we can talk about some of the things that we didn't get to talk about, because we didn't get that time to discuss all the slavery points and stuff like that. And for many of the viewers watching, there is a big demographic of people that dedicate their entire livelihood to having channels that purport misinformation about Islam, unfortunately. And that's why we're making these videos, to clear these misconceptions at the end of the day. Because if they have these misconceptions, they get paid, they get more people to hate Islam and fear-mongering and all this. And at the end of the day, it's not just, because we do firmly believe that Islam is the truth. So it deserves for us to give it that limelight, to at least share real Islam with you guys.
100%. Inshallah, ya Rab. I just want to get back to it.
Let's go.
Rooted in, when it comes to covering up, for example,
on the screen.
You. And if you are dressed immodestly, they might react a certain way. They're attracted to your voice. I just have to say, I'm a lesbian, and I am not tempted by, like, in my mind, I don't see a woman walking down the street immodestly, and it's not rooted in
equality. Rami, you want to put it on the screen?
Allah sees.
Is it not on the screen?
I see it on the screen.
Are you seeing it on the screen?
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay, perfect.
Both men and women is equal, and I don't hear that, honestly, at all.
When you're saying,
thank you.
I have lost relationships because of
you say they all jump on me. I'm about to say one thing, and they all say, no, shut up.
The relationships that I've lost would be relationships that I probably should have been in the first place. Once I became more strong in my faith, I had to cut those people off. So those are only relationships that I've lost. Yes, it hurt maybe at the time, but I look at it from the outside perspective. That was the decision that I had to make.
A relationship that I've lost is, in a different sense than losing contact with them, but the relationship I lost with them is that I'm unable to be my true self around them. And that relationship is with my mother, and it's the reason why I'm in this ridiculous outfit today. Because if my mother ever found out that her only child is gonna go to hell forever because he left Islam, it's gonna hurt her so badly. I saw myself how much it hurt my mom when I was talking openly about my doubts in Islam in high school. It was causing her like literal depression. The reason I continue to pretend and I don't really have the bravery to come out and be my true self around her is because she's the best mom I could have ever asked for. She worked so hard to raise me. She sacrificed so much to give me a really happy childhood. And the idea that I will be showing her that all her hard work was for nothing because her child is gonna burn in hell forever, I can't hurt her like that again, like I hurt her in the past. She doesn't deserve to be hurt. She deserves to be happy.
I would say I haven't lost any relationships as far as like dating, and I am no contact with my family, but it's actually not because of the difference in religion, it's because of a plethora of other things. I would say I went to that Islamic academy growing up, and ironically, it was the best years of my life. I had the best friends. When I went to a secular school, I'm from a conservative area, so I was the only Iranian, so they were bullying me for being hairy. And then when I went to the Islamic Academy, I didn't have that problem anymore. It wasn't until when I went to high school and I'm distancing myself from Islam that a lot of people from our local community just kind of, like, there's whispers of, oh, Janet's family is a hypocrite. She's a whore because I don't dress modestly as they'd like me to, et cetera, et cetera. I've lost a lot of, I would say, my Muslim friends from the school.
Islamic views on homosexuality are outdated.
All right, this one, here we go. Oh, get your popcorn, bro.
All of them.
So I grew up in a pretty queer family. My South Asian family is very Muslim.
Yeah, and story's my actually mother crazy,
and
by the way.
Her sisters grew up in that environment. and all three of them turned out to be queer. I'm queer. My sister's queer. It was a long journey. Well, mostly, of I don't know what there was in the water.
That's literally called grooming, bro.
Who we are and who we've always been. When I look at my grandfather, he and I have strikingly similar stories. He admits that in his village, it was normal for men before they were married to play around with each other, to have boyfriends, to experiment. But then after you were an adult, after you married, of course, that was off the table. But I kind of see, you know, almost 70 years apart, me and him both have the same stories. Early 20s, got to experiment with my sexuality, you know, now in a long-term relationship with a girl and very secure in that. But his experience was filled with shame that he then passed on to his daughters. So I see that and I feel bad for generations of queer people who have been told that they can't be, or that maybe they can be, but they can't act upon it because that is haram in some way. So queerness is in our blood, it's in our nature, it's across species, it's across time, it's across history. No. And religion through Islam, through Christianity, and through various other means have been used as tools to erase that queer history.
I agree. All Abraham, all religion in general, organized religion, I feel like it's not, you're gonna find it.
I have to expose this point right now. I spoke to this brother after, obviously, after the Jubilee, you know, debate. So it was technically in public property outside. And then I was speaking to him and I asked him, I was like, bro, you're not really an ex-Muslim, are you? Because you said your dad was a Jew, so you're half Jew, half Christian. I was
like, wondering, where is his Muslim background?
I literally asked him, I was like, you're not really Muslim, are you? He looked me dead in the eyes, wallahi, and he's like, no, I'm not. And he didn't finish right there. He said, I told them that I wasn't, but they gave me the role anyway.
Bro, what the heck?
In the video, he doesn't say anything about like having Islamic beliefs prior. Like at no point does he ever talk about like being a Muslim.
Yeah, ever. That's pathetic. That's actually insanely pathetic from Jubilee. Like I guarantee during the interview, they asked for a story. He mentioned how queer he was and his family is. And I promise they accepted him just for that and probably a few other points.
Yeah, I remember Jad even asked him, like, have you ever read the Quran? And he's like, no, I haven't. And Jad's like, bro, I recommend that you should. Like, yeah. You've so never read the Quran in your life. And you're given this role of an ex-Muslim. Like, it doesn't make sense, bro, to me. But let's keep watching.
Before we get back into it, let's just establish, what does ex-Muslim mean? It means they were a Muslim, meaning presumably they understand Islam and for some intellectual, logical, rational reason decided to leave it. That's what ex-Muslim should mean, or at least what people presuppose means when they say I'm an ex-Muslim, or when they hear someone say I'm an ex-Muslim. Here we have a guy who's never been a Muslim in his life, has never read the Quran, who probably doesn't know the basic fundamental six pillars of Iman, five pillars of Islam, levels of Islam. And he's on here disagreeing and debating with Muslims as a fake ex-Muslim. Not that he did it himself or he wanted to or whatever, but Jubilee allowed such a person on their show knowing this, according to his own testimony. Mm-hmm. Like that's extremely pathetic. And again, shows they have an agenda against them. I actually hope Jubilee goes down for this, bro. Like, this is actually disgusting.
Yeah, we'll keep watching, bro. It gets worse.
Yeah. Well, sorry, one more thing I want to mention while I bring it up. This guy, I think, just proved that it's not something you're born with. It's not something that you just, you know, have biologically or whatever. And that it is conditioning. Because the fact that he makes like 70 years, you know, worth of generations of people from his grandfather down to his, you know, his father and down to him and whatever. There's a reason. There's a family tree of queerness, which he never defined. What does that mean? Like that you're bisexual? Like, what does it mean, queerness? But regardless, like, it just shows that it's conditioning. He grew up in a certain society doing certain things and then passed it down, and you did the same exact thing. Which means, inversely, if you lived in an Islamic society where there wasn't these disgusting, like, you know, corn and all this exploitation. I don't want to say the word to get it demonetized, but, you know, all these horrible types of exploitations. You would be less likely to be attracted to the same sex. You would be more likely to be attracted to the opposite sex. Like you find in all of, you know, Islamic history, you don't have too many people who are eunuchs or who are attracted to the same sex or anything like that.
Facts. Absolutely, bro.
All right, I'm pulling it up, inshallah. I think it's good for us to take small, like, intermissions no one's talking, just to make sure we get everything, like, on track.
Yeah. And the points that you mentioned, these are important contentions that a lot of people fail to see, because I want you to understand, anytime that you guys listen to something from mainstream media, and I will group this platform in with mainstream media, that there is a lot of censorship and there is a lot of bias, and they will purport the narrative that they want to purport. It's not always going to be objectively unbiased. It goes without saying. So I don't know, man. Like, I feel like, and the irony is it's called middle ground, but we'll keep watching.
Not, you're going to find it in Christianity and Judaism. I myself, I'm a lesbian. I didn't come out until I was older, like an adult. But a lot of that was rooted because I have such a devout Muslim family. It's like, it's, if I come out, like, my mind's going many places. It's not just going to be like a normal American family coming out. Like, I have a very abrasive Muslim dad. I don't really see my gayness coinciding with religion, like an organized religion.
I think that Islam has no moral standing to say that two consenting queer adults can't be in love while allowing a man to have sexual relationships with his slave.
Okay,
I couldn't rationalize how that is okay, but
yeah, let's talk about this, bro, because this is something that a lot of people are spreading misinformation in the comment section of the Jubilee video about, you know, slaves and stuff like that. So let's discuss this. So in Islam, I want you guys to understand that we don't have slavery in the sense of Western slavery, and Islam definitely did not create slavery. Slavery has always existed, historically speaking. Islam came, as a matter of fact, believe it or not, to actually end slavery. The Western definition of slavery, which is taking free people, innocent people, and making them slaves, i.e. even when they're born into it by their parents who were slaves as well, they're born into slavery. So Islam came to actually end that version of slavery. What Islam does have are war captives. So in strategic wars, by the way, and we don't just, you know, attack innocent people, obviously. In these settings, when we win the war, there's going to be a bunch of men and women that are left over, right? Leaving them free. Historically speaking, other civilizations would just completely abolish them. We're not going to do that. So what we do instead is we give them the chance to continue to live, but we take them in. They eat from the same food that we eat from. They're clothed by the same food that we're clothed from. They live under the same roof as us, bro. They have so much rights to the point where they can even go to a Sharia court and they can even, I guess, demand to be set free if they don't like to be with us. And Allah even says in the Quran that that fee that they have to pay to basically be set free, we're encouraged to pay that for our slaves or, I guess, captives as well. So if you really think about it, this is the most just form of what happens after a war than any other solution that you have in society. Now, obviously, if you have a woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he doesn't categorize this as zina or just, you know, immoral intercourse. And obviously, it has to be consensual too. I don't know why people make the grape argument with consensual intimacy between a man and a woman that he has that he's taking care of. Because at the end of the day, I think it was Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he mentioned that the punishment for you graping your, you know, the female captive is going to be the same as adultery, as fornication outside. So I really don't see where the issue with this is. Additionally, if we beat our slaves, which we shouldn't, or our war captives, we have to set them free. It's obligatory. So I really don't understand this, bro. But it's thrown around this buzzword of like slaves, and it makes Islam look bad. But when you really study it, you understand that it's not bad at all. It's the most just form of society. And a lot of people will also ask, why did Islam not abolish slavery completely? Well, just like Rami said, Islam is a perfect and succinct way of life. It's a complete way of life. It's a deen, right? So if slavery was abolished overnight, just imagine what would happen to civilization and society. You'd have, what, a million people plus, probably millions, just free overnight. No longer having food on the table. No longer having someone to look after them. Prostitution would be back to an all-time high. So it's not feasible for that. So instead, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Allah, came with Islam as a revealed religion 1400 years ago to kind of eradicate slavery and encourage us to free our slaves, not just abolish it completely.
Yeah, 100%. That's an amazing point. And then that begs the question, what happens when there's another war and you have to do something with the people? You can't let them go. You can't just off them. Well, you're going to have to take them as war captives. So if it was abolished, it's basically saying we can't do anything with people after a war, but there are people. So it doesn't make any sense. There needs to be action taken to prevent any kind of chaos or destruction of livelihood, of property, of human beings' lives. And I was about to jump on the topic at hand here, but I'll hold myself, inshallah, for when we get there. But yeah, that's an amazing point, 100%. Like, if you look at like the cross-Atlantic slave trade, by the way, when slavery was abolished, you could read the history on this. You had a bunch of people who with no property, no job, no livelihood, thrown into the street. They don't even have a house to go to. They used to live with their owner, which I'm not saying that this was good. This system was disgusting. They kidnapped people from a different continent and moved them over out of pure racism, which was biblically backed, by the way. So, mm-hmm. Like, it's absolutely horrendous and disgusting. But when they were freed, they were poor, basically, on the street. And a lot of them went back to their previous owners, you know, yeah. Basically wanting to be taken back. And it's horrendous and it's sad, but, you know, Islam would not allow such a thing. Islam, but even if they ended up being poor, Islam would still take care of them. The state would still take care of them. That's why we have zakat. That's why we have jizya. That's why we have systems in place to make sure that no one is oppressed or taken advantage of or suffers under our control. But
yeah, and the jizya itself too, bro. It's literally for male non-Muslim combatants that they don't have to fight our wars for us. And that we'll fight their wars and take care of them. Like, it's not even for non-combatants, bro. So I really don't. And me and Jad brought up all these points. And that's why I say, oh, Muslims, learn your religion and study your religion and give da'wah. Because at the end of the day, me and Jad have either, number one, said these points. Number two, didn't get to say these points because they cut us off. Or number three, didn't even put them in the actual video. You know, they cut out these parts. So unfortunately, we have to talk about it here.
Yeah, unfortunately. But khair, inshallah, you know, alhamdulillah, we do what we must. And you guys did a great job, alhamdulillah, from what I could see so far. One last point I want to mention is, we're all respect to this guy. I don't want to disrespect him based on what you said. He seems like a pretty fair person. I don't think he's as credulous as the others. But why is he comparing homosexuality to having sex with a female a servant or a female a war prisoner? How are these two things comparable?
He kept bringing it up, as that was just the one topic he wanted to keep bringing up.
I think his ideology was more so, if two people that are same sex cannot have intimacy consensually, then why is it okay in Islam for a man to kind of be with his war captive, i.e. insinuating that it's non-consensual? But that's not even the case at all. So I don't understand that.
I mean, if that was his argument...
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, if that was his argument, he should have been clear about that. But what he said specifically is Islam doesn't have the moral high ground. That's what he said. It doesn't have the moral capacity to prohibit this and allow that. But why? On what basis? What morality do you have? Where do you get the morality from? How can you prove that it is the morality objectively or better or superior than Islam, whatever way? And I guess since we're on the topic, it would be, if Allah allowed a man and his wife to have like sex, then that I would see a contradiction in some capacity. Because when you say homosexual, what are you talking about? You're talking about a man having sex with another man, basically anal sex, essentially. That's basically what you're like celebrating here. And it's not even love, because Islam doesn't say, you know, don't love another man or anything. The prohibition is on the actual act itself. So it's no longer, it's just love. It's not, if it was just love, you wouldn't need the sexual act. If it was just love, it's not. It's actual sexual immorality. But Allah doesn't allow even a man and a woman to have an act. So it's like, there's no comparison there for him.
Let me add this point, Rami. When you said that it's the act, so it's not the inclination itself that's wrong. Now, there's a difference in opinion on this, but the majority of scholars say that the inclinations, especially when they're uncontrollable, is not your fault. Because how are you going to be punished for something that's intrusive or something that is out of your circle of control, just you thinking that you're gay? But the problem is the act that you mentioned, right? Yeah. In Islam, you need four male witnesses, adult, sane mind, reliable, trustworthy, sober, to basically testify that they saw you having this act with another man. And spying is haram in Islam. So unless you were completely kind of out there in the open, in just being careless, just in a way where even a kid could just come by and watch you guys, of course that's going to lead to the spiraling down and dysfunction of society. And that's why the punishment is for that. And even if a man or a woman were doing that, there would be the same punishment. So I don't understand what the problem with this is. It's more so just we're trying to protect the fabric of society and decency.
I think you should watch this segment and then we'll see what happens. See what
bro, because when you bring up the incest point and I bring up the monkeypox point, bro, like, this is crazy. I hate that they cut it off.
Lesbian are adults who are in a loving relationship, fully consensual, there's no power dynamic. It's bad.
My question is, if it's okay for two consenting, for example, males who have love for each other to conduct sexual intercourse, then what is the problem with two brothers who have love for each other and they're consenting?
Incest, and you're comparing incest and homosexuality. That's you're.
Please
that's
wait. Pause it. Wait, how long? Just keep. I want you to just track. I don't know if you kept the whole thing in this. Track how long it takes until, like, just notice how none of them actually say anything. The first point they'll ever be able to bring will be brought up by the girl sitting next to me, Harmony. She's the one that actually gives them an out, and they all jump on it. But before she says anything, they all have no answer to this question. Just keep watching it.
Either way, it's not relevant.
Explain the difference.
It's very relevant. One is incest. One is, I've done a 23andMe. Me and my girlfriend are not related at all.
Okay. So what is the difference? They're both consenting. They both love each other.
Can I say something? Yes. That's as wrong as a brother and a sister consenting and having sex.
Exactly. So what's the problem with that?
What do you mean?
You're comparing incest with homosexuality.
Okay, because they both come from the same point. There's two people who consent to having sex together.
Yeah, it's the same exactly, exact yeah. thing. So what's
the different methods of socialization?
What is the problem with them? If they both consenting and they both have love for each other, just like two males who don't know each other have love for each other, what is the problem?
I just want to say, you just did this thing in public speaking.
Do you notice? He knows that I'm spinning and he doesn't want me to keep talking. So he said, and he sees that another girl that has a more liberal mindset wants to speak. He said, let her speak right now. So yeah. And he knows that she's on her side because she already disagreed with me earlier on this. Right. Mm. So now she's going to speak. And now it's literally me against the four of them and this girl. Like, it's just like.
You're talking about the liberal Muslimah?
Yes, Rami, you're going to continue to notice that she disagreed with me probably more than she agreed with me in the majority of this video.
Yeah, she came at me and Jad more than she came at the other ones.
Yeah, they handicapped you guys, bro, with her. And that's pretty messed up.
That's why one of the funniest comments I saw on me was someone wrote, Alhamdulillah, our brother's fired and Jad held it down in that 2v6.
Yeah, bro, everyone told me that. Everyone that I talked to that watched the video said literally it was a 2v6. I was like,
Yeah, Jubilee, you guys suck, to be honest. You guys suck.
Speaking called minimizing an issue, and then you're trying to find this correlation that simply does not exist.
What I'm doing is actually addressing the principle, which is coming from objective morality. So I'm trying to figure out if this is wrong, if homosexuality is okay, then what makes incest not okay?
Let me tell you something. Let me say, what you are bringing up is not relevant. It is
Tell me why it's not relevant. Tell me why it's not relevant.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking you for. Tell me why it's not relevant. All he keeps saying is it's not relevant. It's not relevant. I'm telling you how it's relevant. Why can't you respond? Like, tell me why it's not relevant. And then you're going to see Harmony right now. She's going to bring up the power dynamic point, and then they're just going to eat that up because they finally found an out that they can use. But before she said that, like, they literally had no answer whatsoever. Even the power dynamic argument, I'll wait till she says it, and then I'll talk.
Oh, no, we're not going
to
do that.
You're interrupting everyone. So it's really offensive for you to bring up the argument.
Every time I speak, I'm getting interrupted. I let you
know. It has.
How far back?
And go back. No, I go. 30 seconds.
Yeah, I went.
All right.
Socialization.
What is the problem with them? If they both consenting and they both have love for each other, just like two males who don't know each other have love for each other, what is the problem?
I just want to say, you just did this thing in public speaking called minimizing an issue, and then you have to find this correlation
addressing the principle, which is coming from objective morality. So I'm trying to figure out if this is wrong, if homosexuality is okay, then what makes incest not okay?
Let me tell you something. Let me say, what you are bringing up is not relevant. It is not. It has nothing to do
with
incest.
Answer the question. Just answer the question.
Who are not related?
It has everything to do.
They're not on the same principle.
Yeah, let's
repeat. Like, when I want to talk, I get interrupted. So no, we're not going
to
do that.
You're interrupting everyone. So it's really offensive for you to make these arguments when you are constantly.
Every time I speak, I'm getting interrupted. I let y'all speak every single time, and then
yes,
and
let's
then
have no. So
I just want this question answered. Like, simply put, what's wrong with two brothers?
Can I answer the question?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I feel like it's very obvious that incest is wrong because one, if you have a child with this person, there might be something wrong with it. Not to mention that if somebody has known you since you were born, the influence that they'll have over your life is different than if you made the choice to actually be with them.
Exactly.
That's why it's wrong. Here's the thing about homosexuality, because you would think that I'm homophobic because, you know, like, I guess everybody assumes I'm like extra pious and whatever because I cover my face, right? Actually, one of my parents is a member of the LGBT community. I grew up with some cousins that were, I had friends that were all throughout elementary school and high school and stuff. I never saw, morally something wrong with it. I think that the reason that it was put into Quran is simply about sustainability. You can't sustain life on earth if people, like the majority of the population, are homosexual.
No.
I don't think it would say that anybody's better than anybody else.
She's a reaver.
We all have the capacity for love. We all just want to love and be loved.
Let me pause. She's a reaver at the end of the day, with all due respect, but at the end of the day, we can't just make reasons up, you know, according to our whims and desires, and why Allah has the wisdom that He has portrayed to us. So you can't say it's because of continuation of species. So if, you know, gayness was rampant, then, you know, men and women would not have intimacy, we would not have kids, and then generations and populations would not increase. Says who? Sure, you could say that's probably your hypothesis, but you can't just say that at the end of the day. There's far more things happening in the unseen, bro, in the spiritual, that we're not even aware of, that we can't even comprehend. There's a lot of things that even if Allah revealed them to us, we would not comprehend them at all. So let's not limit ourselves to one-dimensional thinking. That's all I have to say.
And Rami, this is what I was talking about in terms of when they hear something that doesn't really necessarily go against them. Notice how when I was speaking, you could barely hear me get a word out. But when she starts speaking, everyone is quiet, right?
Yeah.
It's pathetic. It's like, because like they can always interrogate, but they cannot be interrogated. And even what she said, like, she mentioned a point about if you grew up with someone, they're gonna have a lot more influence. That doesn't make any sense, because like, so what if you grew up with someone? Like, does that mean
that you can have a so if you met a girl in elementary school that you liked and you want to marry her later on in life, you can't marry her because you knew her in elementary school.
Exactly. Would you not have equal influence over each other because you've known each other for the same amount of time or your whole life? Like, it literally doesn't make any sense.
There's a power dynamic in every relationship. Like, there's someone's bigger than someone else.
Yeah, find two men in a relationship. One is like the dom, one is the sub. That's literally just human nature.
Every relationship is going to have that.
Yeah, 100%. And like, what if you have like two people who are biologically related, brother and brother, who just didn't know each other? And then
finally, play the video.
Let's do it.
He brings up that point, bro. Let me play it.
There's two consenting individuals that want to have sexual intercourse, regardless of their backgrounds. What is wrong with that?
Because we're not saying that that's the only determiner here. We're saying between two men who have not grown up together, who are not brother and brother. So it's two different things. They are two different things.
Okay, so let's say there's two estranged brothers that never grew up together.
Can
we pause? I would like to hear, Jad, you can make a final statement. I'd like to hear from Atiya. And can we pause?
Oh my God.
Bro, that is, no. That is actually pathetic.
Listen, wallahi, and Fayyad is my witness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness, that wallahi, after this point, When I said that point, the two estranged brothers, if there's two estranged brothers that and they meet and they want to have sexual intercourse, is that okay? He said yes. Allah has said yes, and they cut it out.
Really?
He agreed. He said yes. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. But they didn't put it in. Go back. Just rewind.
Yeah.
And look at him say. He says honestly. Right after he says honestly.
That's the only determiner here. We're saying between right two men honestly, who says, have not honestly, grown up together, who are not brother, or brother and brother. So it's two different things. They are two different things.
Okay, so let's say there's two estranged right now, brothers that never grew up together.
My honest answer to you.
Can we pause? I would like to hear, Jack, you can make a...
He said, my honest answer to you. And he goes like, I don't have a problem with it. That's what he said.
I
told Fayyad right after, there's no way they include that in the video because it will completely obliterate them.
Oh my God.
You can't put that in the video.
That's pathetic. And you know, the worst part is they could have all just said, yeah, there's no problem with it. Well, like, what do you say after? Like, okay, you're so morally and psychologically regressed that you think that's okay. Wow, you guys are really weird. Like, that's like, we can't go farther than that.
It would have been more beneficial to them. It would have been more beneficial to them to just say that it's okay.
Yeah, they were disgusting, man. Honestly, this Jubilee, like, you guys are filthy. Like, honestly, the way, or maybe not as a whole organization, but whoever conducted this clearly has an agenda, and whoever edited it as well. And I think that is disingenuous. It's disgusting. Alhamdulillah, I'm glad that, you know, I have the honor of being with the brothers here, alhamdulillah, so they can clear it up to everyone.
Yeah, Jubilee, do better.
Final statement. I'd like to hear from Atiya. And can we keep it about homosexuality? So let's close up incest.
You wanted to bring up the point about how
incest... Can you not have homosexual incest? Obviously... I'm sorry. Pause it. Please. I'm sorry. That was probably the most moronic thing I've ever heard. And this woman is lucky she's behind a camera. She's lucky she's behind the camera. We can't see who she is. So she doesn't have embarrassment of going out in public after saying something so hideously ignorant. You cannot have homosexual incest? Is that impossible? A man and a man who happen to be brothers? That's not a logical possibility all of a sudden. It hasn't been done before. It's a new thing that we invented after this recording that you guys did. This is actually so pathetically disingenuous. I wish she would have brought herself and pulled up a bench and sat because she wanted to talk so much. Like, it's actually pathetic.
And it's just like, can we not make it about incest? That's what the end of the day, the argument isn't about incest. It's not about homosexuality. It's about objective morality and what is determining what is okay and what's not. And they didn't want to address that. They didn't want to address that. I asked them, I asked 1,000 times, why is it not okay? And before Harmony put the idea of the power dynamic into their head, there was no answer. There was no, he couldn't tell me why it's not relevant. All he could say is, it's not relevant, it's not relevant, it's not relevant. When I'm proving to him why it's relevant.
that has been proven to come from homosexual intercourse and a man having intercourse with another man. All the STDs,
STDs, yeah, of course, are 100%. Rampant in heterosexual STDs, 100%, relationships.
But it's been scientifically proven that STDs are more in homosexual relationships.
Heterosexual people get STDs too. So your argument of homosexual people get more STDs,
but homosexual people are getting it higher. Creating, there's new STDs that are resulting from this type of intercourse that's happening, and it's found a lot more
HIV. Give me an example of
perfect. Yeah, a very recent.
Why is Atiya like? Why is she go? You're on my side. Why are you arguing with me?
Listen.
Homosexual people get more STDs.
Homosexual people are getting it higher.
This is gold.
There's new STDs that are resulting from this type of intercourse that's happening, and it's found a lot
more HIV. Give me an example of
monkeypox. Yeah, perfect. So a very recent scientifically proven one was monkeypox. That the overwhelming literature
coming from gay people. You were projecting a stereotype. It literally became a stereotype against gay men.
How is scientific literature a stereotype?
What are you sourcing here? Because you have clearly believed all of the Google articles about how it was only attributed to the gay community. That's my opinion. That's it. Monkeypox was ridiculous.
My personal desires do.
Okay, what the heck? Okay, let's. I'm pretty sure one of you might want to jump in before me, so I'll give you guys the room.
I've said what I had to say, bro. How is scientific primary peer-reviewed literature in established journalism today ever just? What?
If you go on government, like World Health Organization websites, they will say that homosexual sex produces a 7 times higher likelihood of contracting an STD or STI. 7 times more likely. And also, anal sex, you're more likely to contract something, herpes as well, which, again, by the way, newsflash, is prohibited in Islam. So, like, if you can't connect the dots or even begin to connect the dots, you either have a crazy bias or not even willing to think on this topic. But the fact that it's funny. She mentioned before that you did this debate tactic. She did a debate tactic. I don't know what it's called, but we see it every day in reality where they're like, are you serious? Really? You really think that? They just try and make you look stupid or silly. Like, how could you believe that? They put you in this box of you're a little dummy and all of a sudden no one has to listen to you. It's pathetic and egregious, to be honest.
I think I said what I had to say on this, especially in the video, was pretty transparent in terms of, like, it's pretty obvious. Like, if you're going into it in a non-biased POV, it's pretty obvious that, like, what the situation is. So, yeah, this is the last question.
It's ridiculous.
My personal desires do not have a place in Islamic faith.
I look like I'm praying in the back.
For me, other than like the obvious, I'm part of the LGBT.
Another thing that I just want to quickly get out there. They could not even pay us, bro, for our flights.
Really?
Accommodations. Yes. And the best part is they have a Patreon.
Really?
They literally took parts of our 4-hour conversation, some prompts, and they only release it on Patreon. You will not even see that on YouTube for free for the general public to see. So they profited hella off of us, and they couldn't even just give us flights or anything. So
that's pathetic. I want to ask you guys a question, you two, because I didn't watch the full video. I've only seen basically what we watched together. Did they ask anything that's in favor of Muslims and in disfavor of the ex-Muslims?
Not necessarily in favor. There was things that, like, we completely agreed on, like, us and the other side, I guess, in terms of there was no contention because it was so obvious. Like, the one that they put on the Patreon, I think, right?
Yeah, one of them is put on Patreon. Another one, we joked on some jokes. Like, for example, we all grew up not allowed to eat pork, like, all 8 of us. Just stuff like that. Yeah.
It's just something. I mean, I can't remember all the prompts, to be honest. They probably cut out, like, 3 or 4.
But why couldn't they put any prompts against the ex-Muslims? Like, all ex-Muslims are emotional, or they only leave for emotional, or something that's against them. Why is everything about homosexuality, or, you know, Muslims are too strict, or Muslims can't get with the program, Islam needs to change, we're better nowadays. Why? Like, that's so hypocritical and completely disingenuous.
You know that brother, the one with the pseudonym Kafir, covered up? Mm-hmm. He told me after the debate, word for word, that why did they not give us opportunities to talk about the things that we like about Islam? And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I still love the charity aspect of Islam. I still love that it's selfless. They didn't even ask us these things. I was like, SubhanAllah, do you really think they would?
Wow. May Allah guide him back to Islam. He actually seems, from what I hear, like a very kind-hearted person.
100%, man. He was for sure, but something... Just so you have an idea of the people that me and Fayyad were trying to work with here, a couple different things. Atiyah was in the last video that I was in, the liberals versus conservative Muslims, quote unquote. Atiyah was actually supposed to be in that video. She was on the set, but one of the conservative Muslims didn't show up, so they had to drop one of the liberal Muslims, and she was the one that got dropped from the liberal side. So it's crazy to
think. Damn, she was a liberal Muslim?
It's crazy to think this was going to be someone that I was going to be against, that they were on my side for this video. So it's something crazy to think about. And then another thing to think about is the fact that, which this absolutely blew my mind, that after the recording, Rami, they were like, Atiyah and I think Nat or Harmony and then everyone from the other side, they went to go get lunch together. How could you go get lunch with someone who disbelieves? Not that I wouldn't go get lunch with one of my friends that's not Muslim, but in terms of someone who left the religion and just argued with you about why leaving the religion is okay, how can you go get lunch with them after arguing with them for 4 hours? Yeah. That to me, especially, that absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah, especially over the Muslims, you know? Like, I'm not saying that. Like, there are women, so I'm not saying they should have gone out with you guys to eat or anything, but like, especially over the Muslims, it's like Allah specifically says in the Quran, do not take the non-Muslims as protectors or guardians or friends over the Muslims. And they're agreeing with the non-Muslims. They basically they are like the non-Muslims or the ex-Muslims, the kuffar. And they're siding with them and protecting them essentially as well. They're going a step further. They're not being protected by them. They're protecting them.
Said, I'm probably never going to do this again just because of it is a very frustrating experience and stress. Alhamdulillah, you know, two is enough. But it's about at least people knowing that it's important for us, regardless of how badly we're going to be represented or how badly they're going to cut it up or whatever agenda they're trying to push, regardless, as long as like the people who actually understand the faith and understand Islam and are looking at this from a non-biased point of view can actually see that, like, it's very, very obvious when you're looking at this from a non-biased point of view, like, where things are standing. And I think it's important for us to have Muslims who are knowledgeable on their deen, not saying that I'm not nowhere near as knowledgeable as I want to be or I need to be, but I have at least an understanding of Islam. It's important to have these people representing Islam rather than, because if you look at prior to these last two videos that I was in, the Muslim representation that was on Jubilee, it's like it's non-existent. It's people that you like, the best of them maybe pray 5 times a day. So it's just like, I think we should continue to put out there Muslims who are genuinely on their faith and want to be better Muslims, and people who know a little bit about Islam and are actually practicing, rather than just putting anyone that labels themselves a Muslim and just put them on this video so they can get a little bit of clout.
Yeah. Jad, it's crazy that we genuinely didn't really even want to go, but we kept talking with each other about if not us, then who?
Like that was amazing. I really didn't want to go to this, but especially I understood how difficult the conversation was going to be, and I'd rather like, I'm confident in myself enough that I'd rather have me and Fayyad there, and obviously I'm confident in Fayyad that we can, like, I'm confident in what we'll bring, and I'd rather not jeopardize or like take the bet on other people that I don't have no idea who's going to go and represent our deen.
Yeah, astaghfirullah.
Astaghfirullah.
Let's go back. Yeah, Rami, go on. My bad.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, there's a little bit more.
I was just going to say that, like, everyone who watched, ask yourself the question. If you took any of those, like, the two Muslims that were on your guys' side, or the four ex-Muslims on the other side, and put them in a one-on-one debate, live, no cuts, just one-on-one, no director to stop anyone from talking, with either Fayyad or Jad, who would win in that debate or discussion? I think it's clear based on this video who would win. Because one side was actually prepared and brought arguments and tried to make logical and rational points. The other side just literally, for lack of a better word, just cried the whole time. How dare you believe this? How could you believe this? I believe this. That's all I'm going to say. That's not good enough. You don't get the right to interrogate me and then sit here and say what you think, what you believe. I don't really care about your beliefs, frankly.
SubhanAllah. You're right, bro. Let's go back to it. Man, you look hella just posted up, bro. Loving Batik. Just chilling.
I'm relaxed, man. I had to sit back to relax myself.
I like that, bro. It's 12. Just guys, context. Y'all probably gonna see this at noon on Monday. It's right now, it's Sunday night. It's 11:40 p.m. for me and Jad, and it's 12:40 a.m. for Rami. So y'all better smash the like button on the stream.
Muslim, and I felt like I didn't have decisions or choices growing up. And when it came to Islam, I remember I'd question things in my religion class. I remember, like, the imam told me, like, women, when you go to Hajj, you can't wear like body spray, right, or perfume. And I raised my hand during my religious class and I asked why, and I always got met with, well, because the Quran says so, like, be quiet, Janet's the problematic kid asking me questions. I just feel like there's no room really there even without the LGBT community.
Okay, quick disclaimer. Don't want to go on too long of a tangent on the side, but when you're in ihram, the state, when you're performing umrah or hajj, men and women both together, we cannot wear scented stuff like soaps and deodorants and stuff. It's not just women. But I do sympathize with her. This whole Allah knows best or Allah said. So this approach isn't really good for everyone, especially from like a parenting or teaching point of view. So we should take that responsibility to learn better and eloquently explain these things better, especially the kids.
Part of me, like, what you want kind of, it felt like, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's no room for it. It's just, it is what it is, and you need to obey it.
At the end of the day, if you commit a sin and you don't seek repentance, Allah is going to punish you for it, even if your personal desires conflict with that. Because of that looming threat, it does not matter what you want. If it goes against what Allah says, then you are risking having your bones crushed in the grave, or you are risking having your skin burned off of your face. It doesn't matter how illogical you think it is. If you believe in Islam and Allah says it's bad and you go against that, you are putting yourself in a huge risk of a lot of pain and suffering.
Yeah, I think it's not that it doesn't have room for our desires, because it does. It just doesn't have room for our compulsions. And I heard this quote, someone said, my religion is perfect, but I'm not. You have to allow Islam to teach you that you've blurred the lines between your desires and your compulsions and the things that you actually need out of life. So it's really hard to be connected to God if you're connected to all these things that are calling you, pulling you different directions.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So does your standard for haram and halal vary at all? What would you base your standard off of? How were you taught those standards?
I learned them from Quran. Or from my upbringing, like if I don't know.
So I think everything you're saying is valid, and I think you can also believe all these things, even just like outside of Islam. Like, I think these principles have existed like throughout time, other religions, other philosophies.
No, they haven't. What is this man talking about?
And so my question is, like, when it comes to the more sort of confusing, like, I was raised, I'm not allowed to eat pork. Okay, so that's
like, look how you brought that up. Like, it's something like so unique that he's not allowed to eat pork. The people who don't pray five times a day don't eat pork.
At one point somebody told me that was because they're not safe to eat, or like, you know, it's dirty. Point being,
absolutely,
there are moments like you can definitely live your life that way, but my question is, like, at what point do you question those nuances, those like those confusing points?
First I question why I'm questioning it. It's like, why do I want to have a different answer than what's written here? First I question that. And then I'll do research and I'll say, okay, well, how were people living like before my time, before my parents, before my grandparents, and why didn't they choose to eat this animal? Well, maybe because it eats its own fecal matter, or it eats its children. I mean, you know, its own fetus and stuff like that.
Well, I understand what I'm saying is, like, how do you deal with the logic of it? Because there's many ways to argue around it.
It's quite literally, oh my God.
Yeah, he's such a hypocrite, bro. Why doesn't he ask himself the same question? Why is he okay with homosexuality? Why does he not ask himself, why am I okay with homosexuality? Is there a possibility it's immoral? Am I just following what society tells me is right or wrong? He is such a hypocrite. It's crazy. He literally just wants to interrogate and question any single Muslim who believes whatever about Islam and has moral standing, and just throw them under the category of they were raised like this. Don't you ever question? Don't you ever want to experiment? Don't you ever think logically why? Do you ever ask yourself where morality even comes from logically? Is it objective? Is it consequential? Is it subjective? Is it relative? Like, if you're such a philosopher on the subject all of a sudden, why don't you bring up these topics? Why don't you discuss it intellectually instead of just questioning everyone and interrogating everyone? This guy specifically, I'm sorry, I have no respect for people like this. Like, if he's going to sit on some kind of moral high ground, you have to justify it. And it's pathetic that he's sitting there questioning everybody. Where does your objective morality come from?
It's those people that, yeah, you're right, bro. It's these people that they don't have genuine questions. They'll ask you a question, and then once you respond, they'll ask you another irrelevant question. And they'll just, like, they love mental gymnastics. And there's just this debate, bro. Like, it's kind of like one of the tricks. And I'm not comparing these people to Shayateen, so I don't want y'all to think that I'm slandering them. But that's how Shaitan actually makes us, I guess, forget Allah and become heedless with waswas. Shaitan will give you one intrusive thought, one doubt. And then when you logically answer it, Shaitan will give you another doubt. So it's one of the oldest textbook tricks of the devil, that he gets you to have one thing after another thing after another thing. And to solve that isn't necessarily to logically do it, because there's always going to be one more thing logically that might make you feel uneasy. But it's to understand, like, where are all these things coming from and getting to the root of it. Why do you have an issue with these things to begin with? So it's kind of like, you know, these women will say, for example, Islam forces you to wear hijab. I don't want to do that. I want to wear what I want, right? But it's like, ask yourself, this whole thing that I want, where did that even come from? Is this generally your choice, or are you conditioned and programmed by your surroundings and society? And they kind of brainwashed you to think that here's what you want. What if your fitra, your predisposed condition, without any other conditioning whatsoever, would actually prefer to be in hijab?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I want to give one example, an amazing point. I need people to understand. I need people to understand. Imagine there was a man who used tactics, methods, persuasion, society to try and teach a woman why she should love him and be with him. They would call that coercion. They would say that's disgusting. They would say that's manipulative. But all of a sudden, when all of society and the different industries for retail that uses women, as Jad was mentioning before, even cars, car dealerships and companies will use women in their videos for some reason. Obviously, makeup industry, the corn industry, and all these disgusting industries, they will beautify women in a specific way that sets a precedent and a standard for how you should look and dress. And if you don't, you feel out of place. How was that not manipulation and coercion in the same exact form? And why are you okay with that? Showing up, dressing how you're dressing, with the makeup that you're wearing, saying what you're actually defending, the same people who coerced you. And if a victim of a man who coerced her was defending him, you would say that this is some kind of Stockholm syndrome, or that she's so lost she doesn't even know she's being a victim. Poor girl, poor girl. You women actually are the poor women. I genuinely feel bad for you, because you think that you chose to do this. You were actually coerced into thinking it was your choice, and that's the worst type of manipulation that exists.
Mm-hmm. Wow, subhanAllah. Let's resume this.
Essentially, yeah, there's a lot of things that you may not understand why something is not. Essentially, what you're saying is, if something is not allowed and you don't understand why it's not allowed, how do you kind of go about being okay with this thing not being allowed? If God is telling us not to do something or to do something, even if we don't understand the wisdom behind it, it's the fact that we know that he's the most knowledgeable. So we trust in the fact that whatever he's telling us to do or not to do, that is the best thing for us.
Blind faith.
Blind loyalty.
Yeah.
So blind
loyalty. So
in terms of, yeah, so because we believe that he's the most knowledgeable.
Oh my God. Like, bro, he just described a very logical line of thinking. You have something that is all knowledgeable, that is all wise, and that is also all truthful, that will not lie. You can trust the answer they give is perfect. That's blind faith. He literally described a logical line of thinking. Now, whether we have proof for God or Islam, that's a different topic. But for you to assume blind faith is so pathetic and disingenuous, and it shows that they're not even on they need to go back to the basics. They're not even on the level to discuss these big topics. They're questioning all these big things. Sometimes, and this is not disrespectful towards them, I don't mean for it to be disrespectful towards them. I can't understand advanced physics. That doesn't mean I go in and question physics. How can a photon be in two places at once? How can a photon travel from the sun and hit my face instantly at the same time? I don't believe this. I can't do that. Just because I don't understand the advanced physics doesn't mean it's thing here, because you don't understand it and you're questioning it left, right, and center, doesn't mean it's wrong. Maybe you need to build up a foundation and a basis to be able to even understand these things and have a intellectual discussion about it. I think that's the worst part. They brought, honestly, probably intellectually speaking, the worst possible people. And that's no disrespect to them. That's no, I'm sorry. Listen. You guys need to listen. No disrespect towards you guys, okay? It's Jubilee's fault. They set up a big discussion. And they had you guys come on. That's not your fault. Okay? And I love you guys. Sorry.
Let's get back into it, bro.
Understand something? I'll ask someone of more knowledge. And if they can't give me an answer as to why something is the way that it is, then we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet know what's best. And at that point, I believe putting my faith in God. That's what faith is.
There's just a small hiccup in both of your scientific method here, which is that why?
Don't get me started, bro. This man's acting like the scientific method is like the objective measuring stick of reality.
Yeah, and what Jad said wasn't even scientific. It was not even scientific. It was deductive.
It's retarded, bro.
Am I questioning? And then there's your part. If I don't get the right answer or an answer that makes sense to me, I keep asking. But if you don't get it, then there's this kind of cognitive dissonance that now needs to exist.
I think like a good way to put it is like part of existing as a human being is questioning everything. That's how we developed everything. That's how we grow and adapt.
I want to add something really quick. I know that like there have been a lot of questions with what he said, especially you guys saying like that's blind faith. I think that there is like, I see your point, but there's a lot of merit. And like, I agree that like, meaning of life is questioning things. However, if you keep questioning everything, you're going to have the most doubtful, horrible, untrusting life in Absolutely. The entire universe. The like the goal is of like
the one time she actually.
So I think that like we can only question some of the things. And I think personally, from my questioning, I have found the answers to which that has led me to trust the God that I believe in. And that is why I also believe in the other things that he tells me to subscribe to, because I believe that that is good for me. So it's not always that every Muslim or anybody who subscribes to religion is like blindly believing in everything. No, they have a trusting relationship with that form of God or that religion or that ideology, and therefore they choose to subscribe to other ideals.
Yeah. I totally relate. There's a lot of insecurity here. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of thinking. I think it is a much more difficult and much more noble path to take, you know, through the chaos, through the unknown, through the lack of prescription, through questioning, rather than just kind of taking the carrot and the stick of heaven and hell and saying that that's, you know, those are my answers and that brings me comfort. I think that there are paths to being a good human outside of religion, and I believe earnestly that those paths are much harder to take.
My question to you would be like, where do you draw the line?
We all draw the line where...
Bro, that's not even what I asked. They cut it off so...
Yeah, it's obvious.
Obviously, yeah.
Morality is...
Yeah, I feel like there's like a general sense of morality.
So, others usually.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So I'm saying if we were all left to just decide what is okay and what is not okay, do you guys not see that it would just be left to individual opinions?
No, I think there's like a pretty basic understanding, just as a human, of what's right
she's
and wrong.
Saying
I'm just a really scientific person. I'm going to do my research. I have engineers for parents. So that gives me peace.
Me
it's,
too.
Yeah, it's my different kind of peace. I don't think people are just atheists or non-religious. People are running rampant without a set of rules. I think just to be a good person, religion aside, there's just pretty standard things.
And we are done, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, who determines what these standard things are? That's exactly what we're trying to...
It's so stupid. It's like, and bro, like, if I were to ask them this question, it wouldn't make it into the final cut. But like, let's take, you know, 1939, 1940 Germany. Like, they had their own beliefs, their time, their place, their relative morality. Obviously, they didn't all agree, but, you know, they had that general belief. As human beings, they all had a general belief about morality. Our general belief about morality is wrong. And the Muslims' general belief about morality is so would you say, using this line of thinking, that their beliefs were morally justified because they generally believed that at the time?
Exactly.
Like, it's so pathetic. And actually, I like the point that the guy made about like the scientific method, blah, blah, whatever, not just taking the carrot and the stick. Islam actually encourages logical, rational thinking. It actually encourages reflecting and pondering and questioning. And like, where does he think the scientific method came from? It came from the Muslims, and they used ayat from the Quran. Like, you know, Allah asked, do they not look at the she camel and see how it was constructed? That, you know, makes you wonder, how was it constructed? Maybe I can find that out. Do they not see how Allah raised the sky? I forget the exact wording, you know, and hold the sky and whatever. Okay, maybe we should go look at how that actually works. And the Muslims did that. That's where algorithms came from. That's where optics came from. That's where medicine and all these different sciences that flourished came from. And the scientific method as a whole. So what he just described naturally is Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, alhamdulillah, I think
we've said what we have to address. That was very... What a wonderful point to end it on.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I know you were there, so you're probably tired of it. I'm just saying it for the first time, so my anger is just like sprouting out now. You guys got a lot of it out during that four-hour discussion. I'm just getting it out now, alhamdulillah. But
yeah, everyone that's been watching and everyone that's texting me and everything is just like, bro, I don't know how you guys were so patient. I'm so frustrated watching this.
yeah.
I'm like, bro, believe me, we were boiling inside when we were there, bro. Just, you have to... if you release that,
not just looks not to mention numbers. When we exited that studio, bro, we got an Amber Alert saying there's literally a grade 5 hurricane, like literally about to obliterate LA, and we're just like, damn, our flights are probably gonna be canceled too. So all in all, 10 out of 100 would not recommend, you know. But may Allah bless all the viewers that have benefited from this, inshallah. If you did enjoy this content, please consider using the limited time that is not guaranteed in our lifespan to learn as much as we can about Islam and the truth, and to convey from that, even if it's one ayah, as the Prophet ﷺ says. And trust me when I tell you this, the returns on this are going to be astronomical in the akhirah. Like, just learning about Islam and sharing it with people, it's so simple. And it's so easily palatable because it's the truth. And the truth isn't something that has to be convinced. It isn't something that has to be proven. It isn't something that has to be groomed or programmed or conditioned into you. So understand that we have a very finite amount of time in this life. Spend as much of it as you can, keeping your intentions renewed and learning Islam and sharing it with people. But if you want to do a little bit extra, support us, share this video, like, everything that you can, inshallah, helps. But brothers, is there anything that you guys want to add?
Yeah, I have one announcement. I don't have all the details, and alhamdulillah, I think it's October 21st. I3 is hosting the ARC convention. It's an event for Muslims. Mohammed Hijab is going to be there. Abdullah Andalusi is going to be there, and a bunch of other great speakers. It's going to be here somewhere in the GTA. I believe it's in Mississauga. So stay tuned, inshallah. If there is a link, we'll put in the description. And stay tuned for further videos, or go to i3institute.ca or i3institute Instagram. Check it out, inshallah. And I'm going to be there. Hopefully, Fadin Onhill will be as well. But inshallah, we will see and update you guys as we go. It's about a month away from now, so we got plenty of time. See you guys there, inshallah.
Inshallah. So number one, Onhill is alive and healthy. Allahumma barik. It's just like, what, 6 a.m. for him right now where he is. So unfortunately, he couldn't make it on this. But number two, good news. Me, Rami, and Onhill will be together in an undisclosed location. Not going to say where. Very soon, inshallah. So expect a lot of in-person videos coming up. We're going to be back on the channel. 2023, we're taking over, inshallah. And Jad, you're always welcome, bro.
Thank you, guys, always for inviting me and allowing us to speak. And it was an honor going in that video with you. And inshallah, it was of benefit to at least one person.
Alhamdulillah. Allahumma ameen. Rami, with that being said,
Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. And we will see you on the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.